Well, welcome to church this morning. We're glad to have you with us and thank you for coming. And it's good to be back. Now this morning, I've entitled this morning's message, How Will They Know? Let me repeat it again. The message this morning is, How Will They Know? Is there a song? Well, who sings it?
Whitney Houston.
I used to love her too, by the way. She was good. All right, so How Will They Know by Whitney Houston, all right? So you got it? And, you know, this subject comes from an experience that I've had over the past couple of weeks. You know, you'll notice that the Gray family have been away. And we've been suffering for Jesus in Hawaii. And, you know, someone had to do it, so it might as well be us. But we had a wonderful time over there, and it was a good time. But, you know, when you're away, you get another perspective. You look at things and, you know, because you seem to slow down a little and you tend to be more reflective. I mean, I was sitting on the balcony at the hotel overlooking this magnificent blue ocean and you become reflective and it's good to slow down, you know, particularly in my life. And so despite what I saw over there and despite what I heard over there, I want to tell you this and remind, I was being reminded by God that God is in complete control. Is there an amen?
Amen?
That God is in complete control. Despite what was going on around us and what we saw, despite what the world, what is going on in the world today, we heard only yesterday or the day before about the atrocities in the Ukraine. You know, they found 440 bodies buried in a mass grave. But God is in control. Despite what's going on in our community, or despite what's going on in your life, or someone close to you who you love, God is in complete control. And it may appear, even though that the world is out of control, that God is in control. So, if you hear nothing else before you nod off to sleep this morning, remember this, that God is in complete control. Can you say it with me? God is in complete control. Right, now you can go to sleep. It's all good. All right. Now, if we'd open to the book of Ecclesiastes, the first two verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the first two verses. For every season, for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Another translation says it this way. Everything that happens in the world happens at a time that God appoints. And just like I said before, it backs up that statement that God is in control. Good or bad, God is in control. If you look at verse 2, it says there is an appointed time for you to live and for you to die. And when you put a sermon together, like I'm sure like the rest of the guys here that preach, I use about four different translations. Do you do that, Paul? Yeah, and you do the parallels and you look at what they have to say. And in verse 2, it says this in another translation. It says that he sets a time for birth and he sets a time for death. That God sets the time that you are born and time, and God sets the time that you will die. So as I said in my intro, the title of the message this morning is, How Will They Know? And we can put that slide up, Nathan, of the Church of Christ. There it is. What's our vision? To know Jesus and to make him known. How will they know? You know, that statement up there, that sentence, is a very simple and very concise sentence. To know Jesus and to make him known. You know, I've studied the disciples over the years. And we know that, you know, some of the commentaries say that they were a motley lot. You know, they were fishermen, but and it also says it was perceived they were uneducated. Now, I'm not sure which way to take that. Maybe they were, but maybe they didn't have any religious schooling or something like that. And they weren't all uneducated. Matthew, of course, was a tax collector. Luke was a doctor. And then, but it says they were perceived uneducated. But if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 through 22. While walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw the two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And it goes on, And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We can take that as fishers of children, fishers of women, fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. They were instantly left and they followed Jesus. And I know that you've heard this all before. But we have to be reminded of that. You know, just what Paul said before. We've got that special service coming up. What a great time now to prepare to let people know about Jesus and to bring them to that thing. What a great opportunity. Not one, not two, but three, maybe more. But bring them along. As I said in that statement too, it's very concise. And when you look at the disciples, and as I said, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Now, these were ordinary men. They were fishermen. And probably, you know, very hard. I mean, fishing is a very hard, particularly back in those days. Didn't have all the technology we have today. And I can imagine them out there from early morning till late. You imagine their skin would have all been burnt, you know, craggy skin from working hard, all that.
No sun cream.
But they were ordinary men. And by the way, ordinary women that actually turned the world upside down. And how did they do that? How did they make the name of Jesus known? And they told their story. They told of what they had seen and what they had heard of Jesus. You know, I remember a few years ago here, we had three people from Rima Ministries here. Anybody remember that? Yeah, some of you were here. It was probably one of the most powerful mornings of testimony that I've ever heard. Sadly, there weren't a great deal of people here that morning. But these three, there was two men and one young lady. The two men got up here and told their testimony. And they had a very powerful and very dramatic testimony. Their life was full of crime. One fellow, 27 years of crime, of stealing, breaking into homes, armed robbery, hardcore drugs, and they would do anything, and I mean anything, to finance their drug habit. And Brett, who I know, spent long stints in jail. And as I said, they tried every program available to get off drugs, and to no avail. And then one day, someone who cared told them about Jesus. How will they know? Someone told them. They bothered to tell them. And this turned their whole life around completely. 27 years in and out of jail. And Brett, I know pretty well because occasionally I'll speak to him on the phone. And his faith is as strong today as what it was when he first became a Christian. He works in ministry now. How will they know? Someone told them about Jesus. You know, we at the BCC, if we put it up again, just put that logo back up to remind you. Our vision is to know Jesus and to make him known. And as I said, don't forget that this Christmas, what a great opportunity we'll have. Now, I don't need to tell you, and you're all, you know, mature adults here, that the world has some serious problems. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. We have some serious problems. Society has changed. Society has become incredibly permissive. You know, we look at the news now, and there are things on the news that years ago would horrify us, especially us people with grey hair, or some of us with grey hair. But now it's just another news item. Other things I just cannot understand. I can't get my head around some of the ads on television, the permissiveness of what goes on today. And I don't want to get political. But it's totally opposed to everything that I read in this book. It's totally opposed to it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, is that when people saw the people, when Jesus saw the people, they were harassed and helpless. Does that sound a little like modern society today? You know, people are stressed. People are having mental breakdowns. And I'm not talking about older folks, I'm talking about children. And people are walking around harassed and helpless. Now, if you don't know anybody like that, then come and spend a day with me. I'll introduce you to a few. My wife says to me all the time, now you can nod, Margaret, if you like, where do you get all these people from? Well, they just come, harassed and helpless. And sometimes I don't give them any advice. I'll just listen. Just listen. Sometimes they don't need our advice. They just need an ear. Harassed and helpless. They're out there. And what do you do when you get folks that come who are harassed and helpless? What do you do? I don't want to tell you, sometimes I get frustrated. You know, I think that's a normal reaction. But the Bible is very clear in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. It says this. It says to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another in God, in Christ, and forgive, as God forgive you. And it says to be it tells us to be kind and compassionate. Even though sometimes they're said, it may be frustrating. So the question this morning is, how will they know? And all of us in this room, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have been commissioned. You have been called. But it's up to you to accept the call and to accept the commission. You know, as I said before, you guys know. But sometimes we need to be reminded that we are called, we are commissioned. It's not up to Paul as the paid person. You know, he's part of the leadership team to shepherd the team. You know, Jesus himself didn't do all the work. And there's the excuse, but John, I'm too old. I can't do that. I'm too young. I'm too sick. I remember just a little while ago, we had a guest speaker in. And it was a few weeks ago, I think it was from head office. But he said this. He said, the reason that people don't come to church is because no one invites them. Let me ask you the question, not to put a guilt trip on you. When was the last time that you invited someone into church? When was the last time? You know, yeah, and of course we're trying to build our church. When was the last time, and again, I'm just asking the question, when was the last time here that when we had a visitor in our church that you went up and made them feel welcome? I'm only asking the question. You know, as Paul said before, we have a brilliant opportunity now with the special day coming up to share how will they know. This will be a brilliant time for you to bring, not like Paul said, not one but two but three or whatever, and start that prayer right now. What great opportunity. I know there's one prayer that God honours. Say, Lord, give me someone to share the gospel with. That will come almost immediately. Lord, give me the opportunity to share. It will come immediately. Amen. I have my time all the time in the coffee shop. That's my pulpit sometimes. Just sit there and talk to folks, and Margaret will tell you. And I don't hold back, but I'm gentle how I do it. I mean, we need to understand that we need to be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. But to share the gospel, you know. And how do you share the gospel? Tell your story. That's what the disciples did. They told their story. As I said before, you're never too old, too young, too short, too fat, too skinny. You know, God will use you. How will they know? You know, in finishing, and I told you I'd be short this morning, but you know, we had Laurel here the other week from Prison Ministries. And what a powerful story she tells when she comes out. I can remember the first one that she ever did, and it was called Lavish Love. How God, you know, lavishes His love upon us. But there's Laurel, you know, working in an incredibly tough environment. And she represents Christ in there. And she answers the question, how will they know? Because I'm out there. She's one who's put up her hand and said, I'll do it, Lord. She shows the love of Christ to people. She demonstrates that. She represents Christ in the prisons. And just going back to those fellows that had 27 years in and out of jail and crime. Someone talked to him about and them about Jesus, about the love, the sacrifice that Jesus upon the cross, the forgiveness that you get from that. How will they know? They will only know if you're available. Amen. Please stand with me. Let's pray together. And Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us. You've commissioned each one of us to go into the world and share the love of Jesus. And Lord, this morning we will remember you.